Listen to Today with Sean O'Rourke with the RTE Radio Player.
The British Prime Minister Theresa May is back in Brussels this morning, hoping to persuade European leaders to give further reassurances on the backstop part of the withdrawal agreement. In fact, at 11:30, she'll be having a bilateral meeting with the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar. She's looking for legally binding pledges from EU leaders on the backstop, a key obstacle, of course, for MPs who oppose her Brexit deal. Last night, she won a vote of confidence in her leadership of the Tory party by 200 votes to 117. And to talk more about this, I am joined on the line by Laura Perrins, co-editor of the Conservative Woman website, and also on the line, Gavin Esler, a journalist and chancellor of the University of Kent. Laura, I'll come to you first. Mrs. May survived last night's confidence vote. Are you surprised, or were you expecting that kind of result? But the Brexiteers don't seem to be very happy, or at least they're saying, look, she shouldn't be happy with it. She should still resign.
Yes, well, I wasn't surprised she won the vote, although it does seriously undermine her authority, thinking that, first of all, her team probably thought it wouldn't get to a vote. And once it did, I think they were expecting a greater margin. So it does leave her weakened, although, of course, she is immune from any further challenge for at least 1 year.
Yes, and Gavin Esler, good morning to you. People, I think, will remember you more as a BBC Newsnight presenter. You're somebody who's come out very strongly against Brexit. But do you think the deal that Mrs. May has negotiated has any prospect at all of getting through Parliament with or without legally binding or other kinds of assurances?
Absolutely none. I mean, this is really pantomime season in London. And Laura's right. The Prime Minister is in office, but she has not got any power. She lacks authority. It's a kind of zombie Prime Minister with what I think now is a zombie Brexit deal. There is just within Parliament, there is no majority for any kind of deal that she is likely to come up with. And, you know, I'm sure Mr. Varadkar will give her tea and sympathy, but I've just come back from Brussels. And the mood there is, we feel so sorry for the British Prime Minister. Now, I can't think of any, you know, that wasn't how they felt about Mrs. Thatcher. They might not have liked her, but they didn't feel sorry for her. It wasn't how they felt about any British Prime Minister in recent years. And so I think, the Prime Minister's been told to get on with it. For 25 years, the Conservative Party's been having a conversation with itself about what it is, and they still can't make up their mind completely and can't unify their own party. They certainly can't unify the Parliament or the country.
And Laura Perrins, given that there's, at the moment, no majority in the Commons for anything, a lot of people feel that the only way out of this thing ultimately will be another referendum. But that's not something that you would support.
Majority for another referendum in Parliament either. There's a lot of chat about it, but I mean, you can have a second referendum if you want, but it'll make the last referendum look like a period of unity. Okay, I mean, if they want to risk an incredibly divisive referendum that I think they will lose anyway, then so be it. But I think they're a long way away from that, because equally there is no majority for that second referendum in Parliament. I mean, if she can't get this deal through, and it looks like she cannot, there's every possibility that they will go out on WTO terms on the 29th of March.
Yeah, and Gavin, just looking at what's there, I mean, it's all very well to say, you know, the EU is refusing to bend, but surely it is in the EU's interest, every bit as much as it is in the British interest, to hammer out some sort of a deal to avoid the so-called hard Brexit. Looking at Ian Duncan-Smith, the former Tory leader on Sky earlier on, he said, it has to be clear, it has to be binding. This is the reassurance. The EU has a decision to make. If you want to do a deal, you better damn well step up to the plate.
I know, but I mean, they have been saying this for years. David Davis, the guy who was in charge of Brexit, said yesterday, now is the moment to seize control, deliver our own destiny. We can't continually kick the can down the road. It's not a valid strategy. We mustn't shirk from tough decisions. It's the same old cliches without any substance. And I disagree with Laura. Parliament has not voted on whether there should be a second referendum. If you think a second referendum is divisive, you can imagine what a minority government with a zombie prime minister forcing through a no deal to end up on WTO terms. You can imagine what that will do to this country. It will be disastrous, and there's certainly no majority in Parliament for that. I think in the end, it will probably will will come to a second referendum. We've had Theresa May face the vote in 2016. Certain members of her own party changed their mind in 2018. Within 2 years, they managed to have a politician's vote. It's okay for the Conservative Party to change their minds, but not the British people. Come on.
Laura?
Well, I mean, they've already voted to trigger Article 50, meaning that they leave on the 29th of March. I mean, legally, that is the position. To stop that, postpone that, I assume she would need further legislation. So arguably, there is a majority for a no deal in terms of that's the legal position. And then what she must do now is, if she cannot get any further concessions from Brussels, is she must step up preparations for no deal, because otherwise it's just grossly irresponsible not to prepare for something that has a fairly good chance of happening. It's certainly not inevitable. She may well get further concessions that's enough to push this withdrawal agreement through, or she may, of course, try and postpone it or revoke it, which will have lots of other problems itself. So I'm not saying it's inevitable, but she must continue preparing to go out on WTO terms. If she doesn't, it's even more irresponsible than she currently has been acting, which is saying something.
Gavin Esler, tell me about this bus that you've... Have you been the inspiration of it? I'm not sure if you're even the driver of it, but maybe the driver of the idea.
Well, as you probably well know, the reason I got involved in this, having been quiet for the first year after the referendum, was just the lies, the deceit and the incompetence with which Brexit had been sold and managed to us. And you'll remember the famous bus that promised £350 million a week extra to the National Health Service. Well, there's a new bus going around, which is going to Belfast shortly. I think it's gone to Brussels. It was in Kent yesterday. It's called the Bollocks to Brexit bus. Apologies for anybody offended by the words, but that is the slogan that many people are now using. And it's going around the country saying, look, we've got to find an alternative. We've got to actually make a positive case for what... I personally think Brexit is the wrong answer to the right question. And the right question is, what's gone wrong in the fifth largest economy in the world? Why do we have so many food banks? Why do we have so many people who feel they're not represented in Parliament? And listening to the cliches of David Davis, I completely agree with them.
Gavin, so you are the Chancellor. You're the Chancellor of Kent University. How could you possibly be associated with language like that?
The Chancellor of the University is an honorary position, and I made it quite clear that I was speaking personally. I'm afraid that you don't immediately put your brain into cold storage when you accept an honorary position. So I couldn't possibly say rude words as the Chancellor of Kent, but I'm afraid as an individual and as a citizen feeling how disastrous Brexit has been for the past 2 years, I think strong language is inevitable.
On a serious note, and I'm sure there's strong language across the Cabinet table, Laura Perrins, what do you make of what Liam Fox, the International Trade Secretary, had to say yesterday, where he basically suggested that Cabinet ministers could stop Theresa May's Brexit deal from getting to Parliament unless it is amended?
Well, I mean, Liam Fox surprises me every day. He used to be considered, again, one of these hardliners, if you want to use that language, although it's slightly more sophisticated than the bus that seems to be going around Kent, where I am now. But, you know, and he's on my TV defending this ridiculous deal. He's a classic payroll MP. Look, she couldn't even put that bill to the vote in the House of Commons this week. How they think they are actually going to, first of all, get it to the House of Commons, get it to the floor, and then get it passed. And remember, it's a bill, so even if they pass the first time, it will be subject to many, many amendments. You know, he's trying to keep a number of people happy. But again, we have to think what is going to happen going forward. What will happen if this bill does not get through, and on current numbers it's nowhere close to getting through. It either means revoking or pausing it, or as I said, preparing to exit on WTO rules. I mean, the leadership contest now is over, and she'll move on. She won't resign. She probably should resign, but she won't. And that's what she has to do. She has to start dealing in realistic facts, as opposed to constantly going to Brussels to beg for concessions she's not going to get.
And Gavin, I read, according to some reports, that the Prime Minister, she went back to Downing Street last night and celebrated her victory with some crisps and a couple of glasses of wine. But before the celebration, she emerged at the front of Number 10 to say, and she suggested that politicians of all parties now should come together in the national interest. Would that suggest to you, now that she doesn't have to worry about another heave inside the Tory party, that she might be looking to people on the Labour side to come on board with her efforts to get this deal through the Commons?
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, I agree with much of what Laura just said, actually, which is that there are really good people in Parliament. I have great faith in parliamentary democracy. I don't think the front benches of either party is full of shining lights and great bright brains. And I think Parliament itself will assert control. I think there are moves within the Conservative Party and within the Labour Party to work together in the best interests of the country and not and end this faction feuding. So I remain an optimist about Parliament, and I remain an optimist about people. I think, you know, the people should have their say again, and you can't be undemocratic.
But how confident can you be, Gavin Esler, that you would get a different result if the people were asked a second time?
You can't. You absolutely can't. But I do know. I live in an area which voted 2-1 in favour of Brexit. I know a lot of people have changed their minds. A lot of people have looked at the detail. A lot of people voted for Brexit because they thought it would solve their particular problems. It was a mirror into which they saw a reflection of what worried them. And we've got to deal with those problems. I completely agree with that. But this kind of either botched Brexit or worse, even the WTO rules, will make everybody poorer. And we know that. We know the facts. I agree with Laura. People are studying the facts now in a way they didn't do 2 years ago, where they studied the emotion about Europe is to blame for all our problems, which I don't think is true.
We leave it there. Thank you both. Gavin Esler, journalist and Chancellor of the University of Kent, and Laura Perrins, co-editor of the website The Conservative Woman. Gavin, of course, as we know, is a former presenter of Newsnight. Coming up, we'll be talking to a current presenter with Sky News about his life and times. That's Mark Austin after the break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.